On this ninth day of September, the year 2021, thank you for coming to my website. I ask questions concerning life because that's all we can do. Each of us, we only have one life to live. I have lived the majority of my life, and I'm now 77 years old. And I want to take some time and speak with you about living your life and making sure that you're living in the right lane, making the right kind of decisions, making the right choices in life. All right, let's address the issue that's addressing most people in the world today, COVID. It's a very uncomfortable subject matter. Most of us don't want to discuss it. We're tired of it. If you're like me, you've gotten the vaccinations, and they got me still dizzy. I speak with other senior citizens, and we're all dizzy, rocking back and forth. I had made a medical appointment. I was going to go see my doctor today. I decided not to, because I've come to the point in my life where I don't trust the Dr. Fauci's of this world. No, I don't. Was that a right choice for me to make? I think it was, because I feel like I feel every day. But I feel out of socket, if I can put it that way. You know, I'm feeling like, you know, there's something wrong, but I don't know exactly what it is. Never felt this way before COVID. Never did. Look at what's happening in our societies. I was looking at something on one news media clip, and a Caucasian lady was bemoaning the fact that her two sons could not go to summer camp for going on 2 years now because of COVID. She was complaining about how their lives are changed and the lives of most Americans are changed. I agree with her. I also see on the news today, and I'm because I live in Los Angeles, and I hear that they're trying to kick out the governor of the state, Gavin, I think his name is, Newsom. I don't vote. I haven't voted since 1974. You may not like me, but that's my choice. I think it was a good choice. As a matter of fact, I know it was. I haven't voted since I was a young man in junior college, and I haven't lost a step yet. Life is still going on. My vote, one way or the other, did not make a difference at all. I never believed that. Why do we believe the lies that people tell us? On my website today, I have a little paragraph there that, and I want to share it with you right now because I think it's the basis of me doing this webcast. And I want to, let me refresh this. Yeah. Because this piece is called Evaluating. I believe in a supreme being. You know, a lot of people don't think PJ, Pastor John, that's what that PJ stands for, that he no longer believes in God. No, I'll always believe in God. As a matter of fact, my life was driven by the fundamental belief that God has orchestrated my life in every way. I'm too old to give up on that. I'm not going to become agnostic or atheistic because life doesn't go my way. No, I'm not that way. I believe in a supreme being. Then I said, it is a power above all powers. You see, the choices that I make are the choices that have been relegated to me by a supreme being. This supreme being, or whatever, this force of nature, this life, this... I don't want to get trapped or caught into the Judeo-Christian definitions or the Islamic definitions, Buddhist definitions, anything like that. I don't know. That the subject matter is too broad for a man of 77 years that's living in the 21st century. The subject itself encompasses everything. We are currently, in the country that I live in, America, experiencing some of the most tumultuous times that we've ever lived in. If we don't choose the right side, we're going to be slapped, have eggs thrown at us. Larry Elder, the conservative radio communicator, African American, lived in this city, raised by his parents in this city, is running against to get impeached, the governor of the state of California. Very conservative. As a matter of fact, Larry Elder was raised just the way that I was raised, with the ideas that I was raised with. I'm evaluating everything. I know that the system that I was raised in, there was an awful lot of colonialization mixed in there. In other words, my freedom was taken from me, and I was given the wrong way to get down the road because I was not offered an opportunity to do what I've always wanted to do, to be what I always wanted to be. And I'm making this webcast today because I'm thinking about my peers, the individuals that are up in their 60s and 70s now and getting older and maybe are a little confused about what's going on in the world. You know, I've been having conversations with people here lately. The ones that still communicate with me or come by to see me, and they ask me the old proverbial question, well, John, do you think that the claims of the Bible that you taught for years are beginning to manifest themselves in the way of personal judgments, not only on our country, but on individual lives? In other words, do you believe that everything that is written in that Bible is absolutely true and that we are prisoners now in this trapped society of living on the planet Earth in 2021? And I'm forced to answer that question at times when I have conversations with individuals that put forth the question. Well, I evaluate everything. I don't believe that the supreme mind or power or potentate, whatever you want to call it, in any way is human. I believe that human beings, of which I am and you are, because you can listen to me and reason. And I'm telling you, during COVID, with people dying and other people saying that they aren't dying, and I don't believe Dr. Fauci because he lied to Congress when he was giving that little speech to Rand Paul and those other politicians about giving money to China to work on particular variants that can be used as a weapon of war against humanity. Fauci knew exactly what he was saying and doing when he gives this money to do this. So I don't believe in that. I believe that, and especially as a black man, they have been experimenting with us on the Tuskegee experiments, just to name one. I don't have to go into that. You can go to the internet and read up on that yourself. I'm evaluating everything in my life. Do I want to protect my children? Is COVID a serious threat to my children? Who are these children dying in the hospitals? Do you remember Sandy Hook? Do you remember Sandy Hook? Do you remember the contradictions? I know some of you, when I said that, some of you are cringing. You want to turn it off. Let me tell you something. Lest you think for yourself, you will find yourself believing any and everything. And you want an interesting, you know, I'm always finding new things to go to on the internet. And you want to find an interesting Facebook page to go to, Gambia Pan-Africanist. I would ask you to go to that and start looking at those videos and start thinking for yourselves. They have some interesting lectures on there. They have a way of saying things that a lot of people that want to stay in their safe zones won't say. Now, I'll tell you what I did here recently, because I said I need more reading material. And I ordered a book called Baldwin, The Early Novels and Stories of James Baldwin. I'm now reading, I tried reading it before, but I never had the time, and I'm taking the time. Go Tell It on the Mountain, I'm reading that one. James Baldwin speaks about growing up in the 30s in New York City, in his home with his family, his father, which is a holiness minister, and he writes beautifully about the projection of his father's religion on his life and where it's taking him. I'm enjoying it. I was reading it last night till late, and I fell asleep, and I got up this morning, couldn't wait to get back into the book, and I am. He has other great novels here, Giovanni's Room, which was banned in this country years ago when he first wrote it. He was in Paris and another country and going to meet the man. James Baldwin, one of my favorite persons to watch on YouTube. Why do I like him? An intelligent mind speaking the truth when people don't want to hear it. In order to be divine, there must be no weaknesses, I said, that occur anywhere in nature which delays the ultimate will of this supreme being. Now, let's go to the global warming thing. See, that's why I made that statement. Global warming, the melting of the ice caps. I used to believe years ago, 20, 25 years ago, when the issue of global warming first came up as a professional Protestant minister, I believe that the earth was one of God's greatest creations, and that no infusion or injection of man's pollutants, such as declining the atmosphere and things like that, could hurt this planet. I didn't believe it possible. Now when I see the weather events that are taking place all over the country, I used to think, some 20 years ago, around 9/11, the scientists are doing that. They control Katrina. I remember when Katrina, the hurricane, started. And then the other hurricane started like that. And I said, look at that. That's being controlled by man. I didn't evaluate that correctly. I didn't. But now I see on the East Coast, whole neighborhoods decimated. Whole communities suffering weather events that they have never suffered. Truly, it appears that we are living in apocalyptic times. If you don't understand the term because you're too young, stop this and go to Google and look it up. If indeed we are living in apocalyptic times, and the Bible is a very unique book, I want you to just evaluate with me. I'm not trying to push the church thing. I retired from being a pastor in the year 2016. I was home churching. I retired. I stopped. And the main reason that I stopped is because I could not justify in my own mind why in any way anyone would continuously, and I think that COVID helped us out there. Did you know that people have learned how to do their religion without going to church, without giving money to the pastor, without funding these building projects, without listening to the clamor and the foolishness that has taken over much of our lives? The church has lost its ability to prove itself to be an entity that can work towards the life and the fostering of healthiness for its own community. It cannot do that. It does not do that because of the, I'll call it the aboriginal policies, the policies that it has built itself on. Like the Catholic Church for years had these people bowing down to the pontiff. That's idolatrous. I've always said that. It's idolatrous. And to say that it is idolatrous, that can be qualified or classified as idolatrous. We live in that kind of a world now where we can't speak what is truly going on in our lives because we have not been given the right to evaluate. Now, there can be no weakness in the divine. And what do I mean by that? Simply put, and let me play the philosopher again, okay? Because I want you to evaluate me as I give this lecture. Okay, sitting in the Lucy Coleman studio alone, there's no one in my home with me. I'm just thinking out loud because of the confusion that's coming on the people of the world, this panic. I love my sister. She lives in another city in this country. She lives in Chicago. And I told her how shaky I get at times because of what's going on. And she said this to me. She said, "Junie, you are 77 years old, 4 years older than me." And she says, "Look at you, you're still thinking. Think it through, Junie. You know it's going to get worse." Now let's go back to my little sentence here. Because I said, in order to be divine, there can be no weakness that occurs anywhere in nature which delays the ultimate will of this supreme being. What did I mean by that? I was thinking about, oh, I got it. So you're saying that whatever is going to happen is going to happen. Yes. It's happened hundreds and thousands of years ago on this planet over and over again. Have you forgotten the science of archaeology, that we can dig down and discover what other cultures had, what they believed? And it's very interesting because, you know, this thing on teaching, what is it? The issues that are tearing up many of the white communities and everything. When they say, oh, I can't think of that term. I must be getting old. The theories that they're talking about, the race theories. Why does that offend white people? Why? Why does it offend white people in this country, in America, or even in Europe? Why does it offend anyone white? For them to discover that the first human beings were black and that the nations that they fathered were rich in gold and everything else. An interesting clip they had on the station on Pan-Africanism where the Queen of England was in a particular bank looking at the gold bullion. Well, you know where this gold bullion was ripped off from. It was ripped off from the continent of Africa. The European countries raped the continent of Africa, and the Chinese are wreaking havoc on many countries on the continent of Africa now. I'm aware of that. You can see that. The critical race theory, that's it. Why is critical race theory such a hot topic? I thought that living in a modern era that we have advanced somewhat. I'm just evaluating. I'm not judging it. I believe the critical race theory must be taught. It should be taught to every generation, to every child, to white, to black, to Hispanic, and to Asian. Every food group should be taught critical race theory. And if you don't think that it should be taught, why not? Evaluate it. What are you trying to do? You know what? I used to preach in white churches. They would ask me to come and preach in places like John MacArthur's church and then I'd drive all the way out. I'd have my associate minister take care of the pulpit on that particular Sunday. I said, well, I have to drive all the way out to the West Gate, the North Gate, and all these gates, these white churches, and preach to them. And at that time, I was on the radio as a black radio commentator. I guess I was an anomaly of some sort because I was African-American, speaking with many of my brothers would tell me, and I would like to admit right now, because I'm 77, clothed in my right mind, and I would say I still am not black enough. I am not black enough to be a member of my tribe the way I want to be. Because my mind, my way of thinking, and I think that's where Larry Elder is now, because he was raised under a system that promulgated him to be successful in life. He went to law school, became an attorney. Larry Elder became one of California's greatest prospects of law and order, decency, unless something comes out on him that's come out on the rest of us. So that's the way I was raised. That's what I look. But at the same time, it caused me to turn away from what was going on right in front of me. I did not look at the colonialization of my people. I would have been far better at an early age if I were not terrorized by a system that told Nina Simone, "You're moving too fast. I should have followed her ass out of the country." You know. But I apologize for that. I wasn't, and maybe today I'm still not black enough. But I am something that the younger generation needs to listen to. I am an elder. I still have my faculties firmly planted in my mind. I know what I'm saying, why I'm saying it, who I'm saying it to, and it's for a purpose. Before I leave, and it's interesting because 4 minutes from now is where I should be sitting in front of my doctor. I should have signed in and all that. And I thought about it, and I said, why are you going to see this doctor? You know what you're feeling. You're an old man. Your body is wearing out, John. I believe that what we have to do today is to evaluate everything. And once we start to evaluate everything and understand that living in America, how can I end up this webcast? I want to end it at 30 minutes. I don't want to. Living in America has taught me something. That being a black man in America, a black man that can think and analyze his situation, is a dangerous thing. Because they don't want black men to think or to analyze it. They want us to respond in a feminine way to what is happening around us. I think that if we merge into, and I'm talking about black men, if we merge mentally in our minds, that's why I look at the Pan-African stuff. Because I'm looking for, I believe that the American, African-American, is done. I think that they've run their course because I'm looking for our heroes, the people that, who is the man that the people will get behind to latch on to an idea? I didn't say to make him our king and to win a war and kill all the other people. No. Who is the man with the idea that has you know what I mean? That will be a subject matter that I go into. Who could be the leader? Because King was killed. Malcolm was killed. Whomever speaks out for black people in a way that I'm saying right now to bring us into the mentality of who is the man that can stand up in any meeting and speak to us intelligently in the black oratory form and challenge us all to do the right thing at the right time without hesitation? That would be our leader. There is none for the American African community. There is none. And that saddens me. I've evaluated. So I'm going to read these four novels. And by the time I read them, maybe I'll come up with an answer. Hey, thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for tuning in. May God bless you.